From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
To you, my friends, on this terrific Thursday together. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. And this isn't just any Thursday. It is the fourth day of March. And guess what? 9 years ago, on this very day, I became a grandma. Yes, my grand treasure, Chloe, was born on this day, and so I say happy birthday to Chloe. I hope you have a fantastic birthday, sweetheart. Grandma loves you. We love you so very much. We're so very proud of you. You're a great big sister to your Collins and Colby, and you're wonderful to your mom and dad, too. Love you, miss you, and hope you have a fantastic day. And I know my friends and fellow listeners, if you're a grandma, grandpa, you know how very special those grandkids are and how they tug at our hearts. We love our grandkids. I am so excited today on many levels, not only because it's Chloe's birthday, but today is a very, very big day for us here at KSLM News Talk Radio and trying to be a part of the solution. You know, we've been together for a year working through this, you know, flatten the curve, working through all these business challenges and all the things that are happening in our communities and state and nationwide in dealing with COVID. I mean, I have to tell you, when I walked into the studio, into the office building today, I was like, wow, the air feels so fresh and smells so good. I almost thought there was a candle burning in the building. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I remembered something. Today, actually yesterday, installed into our system here in the office was a wonderful, pure and clean Aeris machine that cleans the air. And this is so incredible. We are kicking off the Safe Air Network, and we are coming into all of this area, and we are hoping to clean up the air. And here's the cool thing. This air purifier has a 99.9% reduction of airborne SARS-CoV-2 viral particles, and it does it within 3 minutes. And we are a distributor, so we have the ability to help you in your business, you in your home, in your car, with this equipment and this technology. And I want to have you go to safeairnetwork.com and check it out. And you can give us a call, too, and we'll certainly do an inspection or do like a complimentary walkthrough of your business, your home, find out what kind of air purifier you could use in your home. And we'll be talking a little more about that. In fact, we'll probably have a whole show coming up real soon. But I forgot about it. I knew it was coming. I've been in CPAC. I've been gone, came back in, and I was like, wow, this is so incredible. And you and I know there's some of us are like, they've made a big deal out of this COVID. They've manipulated it. You know, a lot of businesses have been affected by it. Some people are like, I don't even believe in it. But here's the thing. We know that there's allergens in the air. We know that there's flu season. This helps eliminate that. And the technology is incredible. They use it in NASA and on. I can go on and on, and we'll dedicate a show to it. But go to safeairnetwork.com, a morning show sponsor. And as we move throughout the day today, I have some news that I want to share with you in dealing with some things that are hitting home here. When I came back from my trip to CPAC, and we drove along the interstate to come back home, and I got off that Market Street exit. Before I got off Market Street, there was a sign. Yep, a sign like the ones they've been having for the last year, wear your mask, you know, that flash and say, you know, do the right thing, be safe, wear a mask. This sign now said, be careful of pedestrians at this exit. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because there's so many folks living under the bridge, literally, at Market Street. To keep everybody safe, they have to alert the cars that there's pedestrians, extra pedestrians right there, because there's been incidences, people hit cars and people running across the street there. It's not a very safe intersection. And so I wanted to share with you today this news that came out, I think it came out about last October. I think it's, let me see if I can find it here. It's a news article online. Let me see if I can get it playing for you, because it is certainly something that has been happening in our local area, and it's a KGW story. Let's play this.
Safeway and Albertsons do so much to fight hunger. One of the things they do during our great food drive that makes a huge difference is collect donations at the register. It's simple and it's powerful. So the next time you're at the register, please give.
In Oregon's capital city, the landscape of homelessness is changing. A viewer told us for proof, look no further than the Market Street exit coming off I-5.
This is what she was talking about.
So that's where we started. And you can see every corner of this intersection is home to at least a dozen people and tents.
I never thought a world would be like this, you know? I never did.
Michael Warren is the first person we met. He's a wildfire evacuee who had been living with a friend in Mill City. Warren says the Red Cross put him up at the fairgrounds, then at the Days Inn behind him. But he says a manager made him leave because he couldn't keep his room clean. He's been in this tent for days. Warren has nerve issues in his back and can barely walk.
Oh, I've never been dealt like this before. I've been through some rough stuff, but I've never been treated like that. I feel like we're nobodies, you know, it's just like you've been left alone, left to do nothing, left to die, you know?
Tony Mathis and his dog Angel have a different story.
Supposedly, they sent me paperwork that I never received.
Mathis says he became homeless a few months ago when some sort of clerical error canceled his Social Security checks. The problem is fixed now, but finding a place during a pandemic is hard.
We're here because we have to be. If I had a place to rent, I would be there. I don't like living like this. You know, I don't have a place to put the trash. I don't have a bathroom to use.
Throughout the day, we found patterns, not in why people became homeless, but in where they landed, mostly parks and highway-adjacent land controlled by ODOT.
Actually, kind of the one place where we didn't find more people living outside in Salem was here in downtown. And keep in mind, this is what downtown looks like now, but this is what it looked like about 7 months ago.
Back in early March, sidewalks covered by overhangs and easy bathroom access were big draws for Salem's homeless. But business owners downtown were frustrated. Then the pandemic hit, and people worried about COVID spreading between homeless people here. So the city restricted camping on public sidewalks and opened up the parks.
The city, they come to help, you know, keep clean, you know, the downtown.
Yeah. The city keeps it clean.
Yeah, they keep clean, yeah.
But officials caution restrictions downtown are a Band-Aid on a much bigger problem.
I would say the homelessness issue is incredibly complex and challenging and growing.
Salem's homeless liaison, Gretchen Bennett, says before the pandemic and the summer's wildfires, close to 1,500 people were homeless in Marion and Polk counties. While they don't have new data to prove it, officials are certain more people are now becoming homeless. So, especially as winter approaches, they're scrambling to find places for people to go. One option, this old DMV on Portland Road, which the city is considering using as a shelter. They also want to let people living in their cars park in the lot. Total, it could hold around 70 people. It would help, but it's not enough.
Oh my goodness. I think it's imperative that all of us work together to look for solutions for more warming. We clearly need more warming capacity and need the right types of solutions so that we can meet the needs of people that are out there.
In the meantime, people are flocking to parks, which Bennett says is creating other problems. Cars and RVs flooded the parking lot of Cascades Gateway Park in Salem. The city says a lot of them are broken down and hazardous to the environment. So Wednesday morning, they handed these red eviction notices to some here. Stuart Heinrichs doesn't know where to go.
My phone's been broke down, so I don't have a phone. Lost my food stamp card, so I don't have food stamps. So the door fell off my van, so I can't drive anywhere. Yeah, it was interesting because we're kind of forgotten.
Okay, Maggie Vespa joining us now.
So So that was an article or a news report, KGW8, last October. And it's interesting, friends, when I look at the video footage, there's like 12 tents underneath Market Street. If you've been down there, even within the last week like I did when I came back from my trip to Orlando and coming back from the airport there, it is so full of tents. It's like back to back and certainly not 6 feet social distancing and all of that. It truly is an epidemic that we have, and I would say of equal concern as any COVID would be is the homelessness. And of course, we know the wildfires, a lot of people displaced. Now add on to top of that, we had the ice storm, and many people are displaced and had to move. And then on top of that is people who have been challenged with the unemployment debacle and not getting their money and having their rent or losing their job. Coming up here at the end of this month, in the next couple months, the moratorium where you don't have to pay rent, where people haven't been able to pay rent or choose not to pay rent for whatever reason, guess what? That day is going to come where the rubber hits the road, that they need to come up with all that money or they'll be out on the road, out of their homes as well. So this is something that is of concern, obviously, to me. It's a concern here at KSLM News Talk Radio. It's on our hearts, the homelessness. And so an effort to connect to solutions, and I think in that article it said, in that report, it certainly said that we are looking for solutions. I was so blessed to run into this individual, this beautiful woman by the name of Lisa Andrews. And she and I met at a training in Portland a couple weeks ago. And her organization that she is working with is Changing the World Incorporated, empowering people. And Lisa, we have a little bit of time left on this break, but talk to us a little bit about this organization and how it got birth. And then next segment, we'll bring in Todd as well.
Good morning, Stacy. We from Changing the World, Inc. are so excited to be here. We have a great mission that we are excited to implement. This actually started with youth, at-risk youth, mm-hmm. and just a real heart for the homeless. And we started out just handing out hygiene packs and hand warmers when it was super cold. And We wanted to do more. We noticed that the population was exploding for homelessness, and we had a vision for how to address that. You've heard that where it says you give them a fish, they eat for a day. You mm-hmm. teach them to fish, they eat for a lifetime. And that's kind of our concept. Is we're really excited to. Right now, what we're looking at is a rural community. It's a old school boarding school that mm-hmm. we want to convert. And well, it's actually not going to be converted. It's going to be that just as it is. Mm-hmm. And there's an industrial arts building where we can teach automotive, we can teach welding, we can teach woodworking. We'd like to give them, empower them to be able to have job training and job placement.
Well, I'm excited to hear a little bit more as we get into the next segment. We'll introduce Todd and talk about the vision that you're developing to meet the needs right where people are at. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. The topic this morning is our homelessness and solutions to address it. We'll be back after this. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. 42 degrees right now at the KSLM studios, and it's going to warm up to about 59 degrees. Excited to have guests in the studio today, but before we get into that, I just want to alert people. There's some serious things going on right now at our state house. Certainly, we need to be engaged in the process, and there's an effort to increase our property tax. There's, of course, an effort to take away our Second Amendment rights, and so I want you to go to Oregon Citizens citizenslobby.org today and look at all the action alert items. And maybe tomorrow morning we can get more into it. But OregonCitizensLobby.org.
The KGW Great Food Drive is going on now.
Anyway, okay, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Anyway, I want you to go to OregonCitizensLobby.org today and get active and engage in the process. Let your legislative leaders know that these laws should not be passed. They are hurtful. They're not providing us liberty and the freedom and the ability to pursue our happiness as we want to. And speaking of pursuing happiness and being good citizens in our community here, what can we do to help our friends that are parked under and living under the Market Street Bridge? What can we do with those that are challenged with homelessness? And it's something very dear and near to my heart, because at the tender age of 20, I did an internship in the inner city San Francisco on the Haight-Ashbury in Janis Joplin's old house with a ministry called the Oak Street House. And we worked with the homeless, and we worked with those leaving prison and getting back into society through the Chuck Colson ministry. And I learned so much in that short amount of time. I was there for about 4 months. And what I learned is my perception of homelessness, what I thought homelessness was, and what actually who these people were two different things. I mean, there was a gentleman I remember coming through to get like hygiene supplies from me as the intern, stopped in. He had a PhD degree. He was a well-educated man, very capable of getting a job, but he had lost his wife and three children in a car accident, and he had no reason to continue on that cycle. He had some mental health challenges and certainly a lot of depression. He just had no reason, so he lived on the streets. That was compelling to me. There are various reasons, a lot of variety, mostly economic, and certainly we've had a lot happen in this last year, challenging families and what they can do to meet their basic needs and the housing crisis that we're in. It's expensive to live here. It's challenging to even find a one-bedroom, two-bedroom apartment that you don't need first and last month's rent and a perfect credit score just to have a roof over your head. And so I'm excited to partner up with Lisa Andrews and have her here in the studio with us this morning to talk about their mission and their organization and their board of directors and what they're doing. Tell us a little bit more about how your organization is set up and why this issue right now.
Well, Stacy, as we see the homeless population explode, we've come together with people who have a vision similar to what me and the founder have, and we're just really set on doing something a little different. Instead of the chronic homelessness that continues, what's being done right now is not working.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps getting worse. And so we have a vision that we can educate them, we can empower them. Instead of treating them like a homeless person, treat them like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they're people with PhDs. They're people that are very capable, and something happened in their life
mm-hmm.
that was unexpected. And so it took a different road that doesn't mean that's who they are. That doesn't mean that they can't be. Our mission statement kind of says it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where we put a lot of thought into it, and we came up with exactly how we felt about what we want to do. Our mission statement says to reveal, empower, and release each individual's gifts, and to provide a safety net for those in crisis so as not to lose their way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody has a gift that the Lord's given them, everybody. And I'd like to put a mirror in front of them so they can see who they really are instead of who society has told them they are or the lies that they've been given by, Satan himself or people around them. And so I feel like if we educate them, just basic things like teaching them a trade, teaching mm-hmm. them—it's crazy, but most people don't know how to balance a checkbook, and so just basic financial management skills, cooking skills. There's a lot of mental health issues and a lot of addiction issues. I believe that those are actually more of a side effect of the real issue. And so I really want to get down to the real issue. And instead of treating them like they are incapable of helping themselves, I want to empower them to help themselves. And so we can possibly end this chronic homelessness and help them to become members of society.
That's exactly right, because often what I found between the difference between a homeless person that I've experienced and you and I is that lack of satisfaction of seeing that they've accomplished something and that they have someone to be accountable to or making their mark on the world. They've just kind of unplugged for whatever reason. And we are not defined. We should not be defined by our events that happen in our life. Right. We, our identity, and you and I share this, that in our faith by our Creator, we are created in His image and we all have a plan and a purpose, right?
That's right.
And helping them bridge that, to understand that. And like you said, you see the mirror and see themselves, that they have a purpose. And it may be, you know, in our mind, it might not be majorly significant, but to them, it could mean the whole difference in the world. And having the skills and the development and that self-esteem is really, really extremely important. What is your website?
Our website is changingtheworldinc.org.
Okay, and so you're a nonprofit organization, right?
Yes, we're a nonprofit 501c3, and we've been a nonprofit since 2012.
Mm-hmm. And you've had projects previous to this project all over the world, right? You've worked on other things.
Yes. We have a director of operations on the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and overseas.
Excellent. Well, as we continue on the conversation, I'm excited to share a little bit more about how you and I can get engaged in this process, friends. There's something we can do. Let's roll up our sleeves and get engaged. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Today I'm wearing my new baseball cap that I picked up at the CPAC conference. It says, Babies' Lives Matter. And, you know, we are made in the image of God, and He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And it's our privilege to adventure life and find out what that is. And I'm so blessed to be here with you on the radio every single morning. I truly look forward to drinking my cup of coffee and talking to you in the morning and stirring up our awareness of two ways that we can get engaged in our culture and in our community and be really good citizens. One of the things that's going on right now is 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com/Salem. They're praying outside of Planned Parenthood up through about the 28th of March. And so if you think about that, pray for those that are praying outside. If you want to join them, they'd love to have you drive by, honk and wave even, and maybe even bring them a cup of coffee if it's colder. It's a real interesting opportunity to be there and be engaged in that process. And as we're talking about homelessness right now here and what we're facing in Marion County and in Oregon overall, it has been such a shock for me moving back to see this problem. When I worked in inner city San Francisco, I expected it kind of in the big city, but then to move back to Oregon and see it right here in Salem and the difficulty even downtown as winter has happened, they're back downtown around that TJ Maxx area. And it's like part of the complication is what I heard Mayor Bennett explain to me last week when I was asking him about it, is that under Market Street Bridge, that's ODOT. That's ODOT's property. That's state property. And Salem can't really address that. They can do some stuff downtown and around the parks, but it's harder to really get in there when it's state property, and it really is a state issue. And here in the Northwest Observer, Marion County opposes cuts to homeless funds. Governor's bill leaves funding in jeopardy. HB 2100 is a bill in itself calls for a study on housing, but it's a difficult opportunity here for us to talk to folks and let them know that they're wanting to cut funding. And so I will put this on our show plan. I will put this on our Facebook page, the link to this article, because we need to look for ways that really do address the issue and give people opportunity to get out of the homeless situation. And sometimes the hardest part for me is realizing some people really don't want to leave that situation. They kind of want to be off the grid per se. But if they're in the middle of Market Street underneath a bridge, I don't think that's so much off the grid. I think that's pretty visible. And they may think they're off the grid, but they're right there in it. And for me, I feel compelled to do something. And it's so good to have Lisa in the studio. And also I want to introduce Todd Gessley. Did I say that right, Todd?
You did.
Welcome to the show this morning, and talk to us a little bit about your role in this organization and how you see we can address the problem with some real life practical solutions.
Well, I got involved as chairman of the board for Changing the World, Inc. .org because I'm an international photographer, and with COVID, I can't do anything international. And most of my work has been in refugee camps and eye clinics and doing faith-based promotion and grant writing and stuff internationally for NGOs. And when I heard about Changing the World and met Lisa, I said, wow, what Lisa's talking about is doing something that's a little different. It's a solution for the homeless. Changing the World, Inc., our vision is to purchase a campus and actually have a school for the homeless. We've got this huge campus we've got our eye on, and fortunately, the Oregon State Legislature has Project Turnkey. And that's a grant of $65 million that they're giving away by June. And so I got involved as a grant writer, wrote a grant request so we can purchase the campus and operate it. And the residents, the homeless that come to us would become students and teachers because they have skills. So it gives them dignity. And also we can bring in other schools and work with them. But there's a huge dormitory. There's classrooms. It's a 55, you know, plus acre campus.
Oh, incredible.
And so we're just praying. We're one of 20 groups, applications for this grant for the 65.
So it's like a one all or nothing. One group gets the $65 million, or do they break it up?
No, it goes for 15 different communities.
Oh,
so
yay.
You know, so I think the Oregon Legislature is really doing a great job with their vision and putting some money aside for this. And like I said, it's an ongoing, you know, they've awarded, I think, three already, and it's a process because you have to go through and inspect and make sure everything's there. But it's for hotels. You know, they're shut down with COVID, that they'll open them up for the homeless or for schools, or those, they're just looking for a place where they can put them. And what we think is, we think we have an edge because we Changing the World, Inc. .org is out there, and so today we want to engage you guys here in the community and say, hey, if you've got ideas, or if you're a teacher, or if you got a passion, or you know, we're going to need a school bus. It's in a rural area. It's about within 25 miles of downtown Portland, and so you know, we're going to need to bus people back and forth every day. So maybe there's a community church that has a bus they don't use during the week. They could come out, and once we get the grant and open up the campus, you know, we're going to need drivers and people to take people back and forth. We're going to need people to come in from the community and cook a meal. We got a full-blown cafeteria just sitting there with all the goodies.
I love it.
You know, so it's going to be a turnkey thing. We're going to have a lot of remodeling and those kinds of things. But, you know, right now, if God works and we get the grant from Project Turnkey and the Oregon Community Foundation, who's administrating the grant, you know, this will be a real neat thing for Oregonians.
What's the capacity? Have you even looked at that? How many individuals or families you could serve?
Well, it's going to start out with about 200.
Wow.
But as we move along, we can house probably within a year or two, 500.
Incredible.
And so that's one of the things that the grant is looking to house between 800 and 1,000 people. And they're expecting, it looks like they, because they're spreading it out amongst four people.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they're probably looking at around 200 per person, and we can do 500.
Fantastic.
And so I feel like we really have an edge with that. And that's not the only grant that we're applying for. There's a number of grants. We have a passionate vision, and we're determined to see this through.
The neat thing that you have is what I see, Todd and Lisa, is that you have history. You're not a brand new organization putting it together.
Correct.
To get this money. You have a history of impacting lives, not only locally, but internationally, to show
yes.
that you have experience and you have a team of individuals who already know what you're doing and you have your game plan organized. And as a grant writer myself and working in nonprofit, that and I've evaluated grant applications before, to me that sounds like a win-win all the way around. And this isn't per se a faith-based organization. This is a community charitable organization, and
yes.
faith is an element of that, of course, but that opens up doors also to receive a lot of these government grants and support, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. So tell me a little bit, Lisa, about, I talked a little earlier about, you know, we tend to think of homelessness in a certain way or put people in a box who are homeless. There are real families out there right now on the streets that have been impacted for a variety of reasons. Talk to me, tell me a story of a family that you've encountered.
Well, when we were passing out hand warmers this last winter, the night before it had been 28 degrees,
mm.
and so Lowe's had donated us 1,000 hand warmers, and so we were handing them out. And there's this one family in a tent by the Market Street Bridge, and they had three small children shivering in blankets, and they just didn't seem like your normal, what you'd envision a normal homeless person. And so I asked the woman, what happened to get you here? And she's kind of shaking and tears welling up in her eyes. Well, she told me, well, you know, my husband and I both had jobs, and then COVID started and we were laid off. We applied immediately for unemployment, and we didn't get our check till 7 or 8 months later. By the time we got our check, the fires had happened, and when our place burnt down, because we had not paid rent, nobody would take us in.
Mm.
And so we ended up homeless for a little while, but then we got our checks all at once, and so we were able to stay at a hotel. But because that's very expensive, we went through our money very quickly, and now we're back homeless again. And she told me, she goes, you know, I'd love to go get a job, but I can't even get a shower. She goes, I haven't had a shower in 2.5 months.
Mm.
There's no place to go to the bathroom, no place to have a shower. She's like, I really want to work, but who's going to hire me when I look like this? I smell like this.
Mm.
I don't know what to do. So that's another thing, is we have procured a shower truck, but we need a volunteer that has a CDL license to drive it. We have enough volunteers at this time to help run it other than the CDL license person.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anybody out there who would like to volunteer to take a shower truck to these homeless camps, we would love to hear from you at changingtheworldinc.org.
Is there a phone number too? Because sometimes people don't
yes.
have access to the internet. They listen to the radio and
yeah.
they like to call.
Okay, 971-600-7760.
Excellent. I know that there's someone out there, semi-retired or retired with a CDL license, that would love to help out with this project. And you're exactly right. A shower, you know, mm-hmm. looking fresh, being able to go and get a job, it all works hand in hand. Now, Todd, when I think about this program that you're all setting up, talk to us a little bit about what you envision, or how long someone would be in your program. Is there a year process or 18 months? What is success as far as measuring tools?
Success is getting someone back where they're sustainable and they've got housing,
mm-hmm.
And they're stable. So, you know, we want to catch them, and of course, and then, you know, keep them as long as we can work, and they can be beneficial
mm-hmm.
to the group. But one of the conditions of getting this property is that we have to operate a school,
mm-hmm.
and we can't just run residents. So they would have to come in and do a night school and then work during the day, or, you know, would have evening class or day classes and they work in the evening depending on what their shift is. So it doesn't have to be an accredited school, from what I understand, with the county. I have never heard of anybody actually having the homeless be teachers.
I love that. I love that idea.
As well as being students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we've got some unique.
It's like a training ground is what it
Correct.
Is all the way around. Life skills, practical ways to get engaged in community. I love it. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. If you are thinking about moving, you're thinking about selling, buying, any of those kinds of things, Dave and Paige are there to assist you. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. You know, when I think about what going to college, going away to college, and what I wanted to do with my life, like, what are you going to do when you grow up, right? The question that they always ask when you're graduating from high school. And all I knew is that I wanted to make a difference. And I was told by a mentor that, you know, you could be literally Stacy at like a stone in a pond or a lake, and your whatever you choose to do can ripple out and affect lives for all of eternity. And I love that vision and that visual that you and I, friends, we can make a difference by smiling, doing something kind, donating gifts, being that person that goes in a room and changes the atmosphere. And so as an early teenager, throughout my life, I've always looked for ways that I can impact lives for good. That has been a mission of mine. And here I meet Lisa and Todd, and they're doing that exact thing right here in the Pacific Northwest. And on their Facebook page, it's so cool, there's a visual of a stone being dropped into, it looks like a lake or a pond, and the rippling effect with this quote, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." And that was from Mother Teresa. And so, Lisa, when I see this on your website, it just resonates with me, because that's my life mission, is to, you know, empower people with the truth so that they can impact not only their own life and leave a legacy, but impact other lives for good.
Yes.
And you're doing that. And so I'm so excited to have you in the studio talking about that. And I know we're talking about the campus and we're casting the vision for this community, Todd.
How giving people dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And showing their value.
And empowering them to be the best them they can be.
Right.
And one of the discussions we had early on was, you know, do we want to have it, you know, the Grace Shelter, or, you know, mm-hmm. if you're finding a job application, do you want to be from the, you know, the Compassion Campus?
Yeah.
We said, no, this is going to be the Empowerment Campus.
Right.
And that's our vision, is to create an Empowerment Campus where people can have meaning, mission, shelter, yes, but they also can get an education at the same time, at least learn the basic job skills and do what it is that fits their passion and their gift. So many times the education system that we have in regular schools throws people out because, I mean, if you have a tree and you have a monkey and an elephant and a lion and you say, okay, you guys must climb the tree to be successful.
Mm.
Well, only the monkey can climb the tree, right? So the elephant and the lion are left down there. So for those folks that are left out of society and they aren't able to fire on all cylinders, we want to, you know, learn from them and let them teach us as well as we teach, you know, so it's a give and take. And I don't think anybody in the world is doing that for the homeless. We want to change the world. Inc.org.
I love it. I love it. And when you think about the word empowerment, it really is one that is, you can't be empowered unless you do something, and you do it for yourself. Then you can do, it's like putting the oxygen mask on the airplane. They say, put the oxygen mask on yourself before assisting others, right? They have to learn to love themselves, take care of themselves, be empowered. Then they can make a change.
Well, it comes back to the fact of, You know, if you go up to a homeless person and say, hey, you come with me, I have a shelter for you, they're not going to want to come. Mm. But if you came and you described an empowerment campus where they could put down roots and grow and be something, I think you'd have people folding up their tents and knocking down our doors at changingtheworldinc.org.
Well, and you talk about the training the trainers or them learning to teach and train others. A lot of that, what I found in those that have recovered in addiction, is that they end up being the counselors. They end up, because they can relate. It's about relationship, right?
And building. And making community.
And making a community. People want to belong to something.
And the best way to learn is to teach.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. Right now, while we're waiting for this grant and waiting to see this come into the natural, right? We can visual it in the supernatural almost, like this vision and dream and how it's going to be. Until we get the grant and you know that it's game on, right? There's things that are going on right now in the community. How can people get engaged, Lisa, right now with what you're doing to build relationships, get to know the homeless, and invite them eventually to the empowerment campus?
Well, one of the things we're doing right now that we would love more volunteers for and donations is handing out hygiene packs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real situation when you're homeless to find ways to keep clean.
Mm-hmm.
So our hygiene packs have things like baby wipes and waterless shampoo, just the basic kind of stuff. Any donations that anyone wants to give, both monetarily or just get, you know, hygiene products,
mm-hmm.
That would help a lot. And also, we'd love some volunteers. Also, we accept donations of vehicles, real estate, any of that kind of thing. So anything helps. And if enough people donate, we may not even need the grant, and we can just move forward to purchase this campus and start our empowerment center.
That's incredible. Yeah, when you think about the things we've talked about, friends, today, someone with a CDL and the time available to help us with the showering. We have the staff. You have helpers to staff the showers, but you need someone to actually drive this vehicle to a place so that the folks can get showers. You need hygiene volunteers to pass out the packets, plus the stuff to put in the packets, right?
Right.
And certainly donations towards this campus. We're waiting on grants, but you need sustainability beyond the initial grants to purchase and all of that kind of thing. So we can go to the website. Give us the website again.
ChangingTheWorldInc.org.
Okay, and the phone number?
971-600-7760.
Any other message, Todd, that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Well, we just want to thank you guys for listening today, and mm-hmm. may the Lord move on your heart. And if he's so touching your heart, to reach out to us at ChangingTheWorldInc.org. Get a hold of us out here. Say, hey, I heard you on the radio. We want to be a part of this. How can we be involved? Or here's our idea, or here's who we know. Here's how we might be able to help.
Yep, and I encourage each and every one of us. Maybe you, as a listener, can't do something physical, like be a part or go out and hand out the hygiene packs, but you can certainly spread the good news. We're going to have this as a podcast up on our Facebook page and also on our website at kslm.news. Grab that link, share it on your social media. Let people know that there are ways that you can get engaged, and maybe you're involved in your church group, your Bible study. Maybe there's a group through your neighborhood association, you're looking for a good cause to get behind. I encourage you to get plugged in. We can make our community better. We do not have to accept the fact that people are living along the bridges and along state property. I think of the Salem, is it the Parkway, Portland Road, in that area. There's a bunch of folks living there too. I'm burdened by that, and I know so many of you have been as well, and there's things that we can do, and here's an organization. Practical solutions. Face to face, we can do these things right now. We'll put this up on our Facebook page, on our website again, kslm.news. You can also send me an email, Stacey, Stacey, at kslm.news. Is there an email that they can send you an email as well?
Yes, changingtheworldincmail@gmail.com.
Excellent, excellent. We are better together, and I so appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Stacey.
For being here, and give us an update. When do you think the grant will be, you'll have some kind of idea when the grant will be awarded?
The Project Turnkey grant that's administrated by the Oregon Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The money must be spent by June.
Okay.
And so everything has to be awarded by June. So between now and June, we should get some good news.
So we'll add our prayers onto that as well. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in together today, friends. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be talking about suicide and suicide prevention and what we can do in our community to address that need. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and God bless the USA. God bless.